Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Out here, if you're doing nothing, you're doing everything right. Though on a cruise with Norwegian, even if you're doing nothing, you're still basking in the warm sun, enjoying the peaceful ocean waves. You're breathing. Don't forget about breathing. Definitely need to be breathing. So you get to do nothing or everything, but you still need to be breathing. It's like really important.
Experience the difference with cruises to Alaska, the Caribbean, and Europe. Norwegian Cruise Line. It's different out here. Visit NCL.com, call your travel advisor, or 1-888-NCL-CRUISE. Norwegian Cruise Line ships registry with Bahamas and USA.
It's time for Talking with TD.
Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee! The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up term.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. That's right. You are now talking with TD. I'm your host, Teron Davenport. We are back in the saddle, man. 2-week hiatus. Last week was in Cabo, Mexico. Had a great time. I be getting comments. People say I look like I'm Panamanian, but we ain't gonna get into all that. Before that, you know, we had a live edition of the TD Power Hour. It was actually a 3-hour edition. Was there at the Hermitage Golf Club. We subbed in for Jarrett Stillman, so that was dope. But now we're back with Talking with TD, and I tell you, I miss doing the show, man. It's been a really good couple weeks, so definitely good to be back in the saddle with you, David James.
Yes, Sarsky.
Yeah, and you know what? We got a special guest as well, and we'll get into that. Obviously, Run TMC is going to be a segment that we'll do next with Chris Sanders, Forever Titans receiver. But we got a special guest, as I said. And I want to, you know, kind of introduce you all. And if you follow my IG, you know, you follow my social media, yes, I'm putting this music on there a lot. So I'll go ahead and let my special guest introduce himself.
And what's good, everybody, man? It's your main man, MCD, Mr. Tennessee Pimpin' in the building. Man, coming in here to have a good time with my boy.
That's right. That's right. And for those of you who don't know, the song Tennessee Pimpin', it's a song that, you know, it is just Tennessee in 5 minutes. You know what I mean? Nashville in 5 minutes. And it's a song that we all need to adopt as the anthem. You know what I mean? It covers everything. But, you know, you grew up as a Titans fan. Go ahead and let them know just how things, like how you became a Titans fan and just it's been like.
Man, grew up diehard Titans fan. Man, I went to a lot of games, actually, with my brother Lee, who's actually the accountant for the Titans. His dad had season tickets, and his dad's a Q man, so they'd really just get outside and tailgate with the frat boys and give us the tickets to go to the game. So I'm talking about, I'm there for the 13-3 seasons to the seasons where we picking Vince Young, the next pick, man. And one thing we always did, we always stayed to the end. you know what I'm saying? So until that clock hits zero. So I'm one of those type of diehard fans, man. So just seeing the transition, getting ready for the new stadium and the pieces and the new coaching staff and leadership we brought in, man, it's just been like crazy to see, you know. So all the way back to the LP Field days.
LP Field. What's your favorite memory as a Titans fan?
Man, it was probably the game where he kicked the 60-yard field goal. I think it was to beat the Colts.
Mm.
The favorite memory on that is just different because just how the stadium reacted. We actually rode the Music City Star down to the game that day, and just seeing like the camaraderie and how everybody was just so like excited and ecstatic, man, and just the energy in the air was just crazy. That was one of those just like, you know, surreal moments for me. I know that's not, you know, the most sexiest thing, but just one that's always just stuck with me.
Yeah, well, I would imagine
Rob Ronis to kick that.
Yeah, the energy from a game winner.
Oh, yeah.
And how the stadium erupts.
Oh, yeah.
Is definitely, and that's the thing that a lot of us don't, that stadium is capable of. I remember in, I want to say 2019, I want to say, when the Eagles came
in,
and Corey Davis caught that.
The game went,
That place went crazy.
Yeah, that was
so. It's capable. It's capable, and it's capable of doing that without Derrick Henry. You know, because this crowd does different things with Derrick Henry when he has the ball. But yeah, yeah, and it gets live. Speaking of Derrick Henry, you did the video, Tennessee Pimpin'. With hey, you won the contest.
Yes, sir.
So over at Sky Deck downtown, David Gray, shout out David Gray, Nashville. It was a hip-hop battle, and you went ahead and won that. We were talking before we got on here how it was like a movie. You know what I mean? Definitely. And you won that. You had the Derrick Henry jersey on as well. Why did you want to represent Henry?
Man, that's my son's favorite player.
Okay.
And honestly, that's my favorite Titan of all time. I mean, we have a lot of legendary people that have came through there that earns that right. But, man, just one, how he carries himself, how he's a leader, man, and he's always taking ownership on it. And one thing that's always stuck with me is just how he had that conversation with Eddie George, just asking like what he needed to do. And he was like, "Hey, man, you just got to be better."
Yeah, he so wanted to see the wizard.
And it's funny because a lot of people have been asking me like, because that video has been so viral, they're like, "Man, what jersey are you gonna rock next?" I'm like, "Hey, man, like that Derrick Henry jersey is gonna be, you know, stationed in every Tennessee Titans game from here on throughout history." You know what I'm saying? So it's a classic to me, so I'm always wear one. But I do got to get another jersey, man. I've been debating on who I want to rock next. I might have to get a Big Jeff jersey or a D-Hop, man. That's next on the list for sure.
Well, that was the question I was going next. A Big Jeff. I think that 9-8 would definitely look. And you know what? Honestly, next video, we need to make that happen.
Oh, yeah.
And get him in the video. And we can make that happen.
Fun fact, man. So, Colton Dowell is actually from the same city that I am.
Yeah.
From Lebanon, Tennessee. We were like high school rivals. So, he went to Western Central. I went to Lebanon High, man. So, definitely got to give my boy Colton some love as well while we're there, man. Keep on your thing, big dog.
Yeah. Colton Dowell working his way back, man. You know, late season torn ACL. And he's working his way back. Cole's a good dude, man.
Oh, yeah.
Most really, really outstanding athlete, too, man. He made some plays, you know, especially on special teams. But that Big Jeff would be a dope one. You mentioned Hopkins. And, you know, as we talked about, you know, he heard the Tennessee Pimpin' and he thought it was dope as well. So definitely getting that support or at least getting them to hear it and be like, that's a
man,
solid
see,
track.
I guess while we're here, we might as well just talk about everything. Like I know I was able to get some merch over to him, man. That one was special for me for like a whole different reason, man. So a lot of people don't know is like my sister is blind. So she lost her eyesight like after she was like 20 something. So she had it for most of her life, similar to his story on how his mom's is.
Wow.
And like, man, I just want to have a chance to get in front of him to talk to him just to see if my sister could not even meet him but meet his mom's, just because my sister's just been dealing with like some, you know, mental depression and battling addiction and stuff like that, man. But just seeing how his mom is moving through this world and being an example for a lot of people, man, I really feel like that would be a blessing. So, man, D-Hop, if you hear this, dog, man, if we can make that happen, big bro, I definitely would love that, man. Just, but yeah, that's so whenever I was given that merch, man, that was the first thing on my mind. So, man, so just the story and all that, man, it's just real courageous.
Yeah.
It's a lot of people don't know about me, man, but I do this, man, what I do for a lot of people, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, it's bigger than me for sure.
And that's why the passion is there. And I'm telling you, like, I'm getting chills now thinking back, you know, at Sky Deck, man, like, of course you came out, right? You got to drop the anthem. Just let them know, like, you know, that's look, this is what it is.
If you're in this competition, this is the bar.
Yeah. And then it was just, you know, your next song, Mr. Do or Die, you know, the crowd was rocking to that too. But there was just something about the next B.I.G.
Man, I feel like it just took over the building, man.
It did. Cause it was just like, I'm telling you, David, it was like, so the music comes on, right? And like the beat is playing.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's one of those songs, like the beat plays for a second before he comes in. And then when he was like, they say I'm the next beat, I just looked around. I'm just like,
yeah, yeah. That's when you saying that, man, bro, that's.
Woo. Listen, I'm like, yo, this is a moment for real.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? And I'll say it, you know, because he won't. the judge, right? Like, once he won the contest, you know, the judge turned around and he looked at everybody and was like, hey, look, Nashville, y'all need to get behind him.
Yeah.
And he was like, I'm from Atlanta. I forget his name, his affiliation and all that. But, you know, he's like, I'm from Tom Atlanta. What was it?
Tomcat. He's with MMG, actually. With, Maybach Music Group.
See?
Just an engineer.
Yeah, an engineer. And he was like, y'all need to get behind him because this could be your T.I.
Man, and I'm like, anyone from Atlanta saying that, bro, that's that is certified right there.
So, like, the storyteller in me, the journalist, I'm just sitting here thinking, like, oh, my God, I could picture this as a movie. Like, when he blows, here it is. That's got to be a scene, not where the tide turned, but just where it was like, wow, that's a moment. Most that definitely. Probably would be like the ending. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Be like the ending. And then, listen, hey, any producers and movie folks, listen, we got something for you.
We got plenty for you. Come talk to me, man. We'll make it happen.
So when you look at, we mentioned like, you know, your favorite moment, your favorite Titan. What would you say? I mean, it's probably easy to say, you know, when McNair died, which Thursday will be the anniversary of that. I would venture to say like that's the time that's like the most hurtful part of the franchise. But when you talk about on the field, what would you say? Like what event like hurt you the most?
Man, probably just that whole sequence where we lost Steve McNair and Derek Mason, and the boys went over and started playing for the Ravens. Man, that was like that one hit home. You know what I'm saying?
The rivals,
for sure. Because I think, man, I probably can speak for all Titans fans. Man, we kind of been craving that franchise guy to come in, start with the Titans, and retire a Titan. Even the whole Henry situation, which I was happy for him. You know that he's with the Ravens, man. I actually, if we not winning a ring, man, I would love to see him get a ring. But that one was probably one that just hurt me the most. That or, man, do y'all think we gave up on Vince Young a little too early, man? I mean,
that's a good question. That's a good question, because I think the situation wasn't right.
Yeah,
agreed. Sure.
You know, he's someone with his talent. Like, you taking, you build around that. You restructure your offense to accentuate that.
And I feel like, and even with the little that we had, I mean, granted, he had like legendary Hall of Famer Chris Johnson right there with them during his tenure as well. But, man, we really could have reached, you know, uncharted heights. And they showed the promise to it, man. And I get it, you know, some stuff happened, you know, like but I really feel like if we would have just backed them through some of that, man, like we really could have probably had a chance at another Super Bowl run. So,
yeah,
that's just something I've always thought about as well.
You talk about Super Bowl runs, 2021, man.
Oh, man.
Ah, that interception on the first play from scrimmage, like, I don't know that I could say I've ever seen a stadium get deflated like that one from one play.
Yeah, the energy in the stadium died, man. But, like, with all the mistakes, dog, we were right there. Like, I really thought, like, hey, like, we're about to win this game, man, all the way down to the last couple drives, man. Just seeing how the whole sequence of that played out, that was one I should have named. That one definitely hurt.
Yeah. And it was – so when Deontay Foreman had that long run, I'm like, man, I'm about to cover another conference championship game. Yep. This is going to be dope.
Yep.
You know, and then a few plays later, you know, the interception. Yeah, how about this one?
Off the screen.
How about – off the screen, right, Mike Hilton. How about this one? Because I know actually this very – no, it wasn't this laptop. It was a different one, but – I had the windows open. I'm looking at flights to Miami. I'm looking at hotels in Miami, right? And I said, well, I don't want to get too ahead of myself, but I do want to make sure I get a good deal so the company will make, you know, whatever, whatever. Then Patrick Mahomes. He has that run.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like, oh, man, do you remember that? What were you thinking when he had that run?
I think, man, I was just, it wasn't much you could say. It's just like, it's one of those things like, man, it's Patrick Mahomes. You know what I'm saying? Like, because he really was like a magician in the pocket, man. And it's crazy because, like, I feel like we're one of the better teams that play Kansas City as well as anybody. Like, if you're prepping for a playoff game against Kansas City, you need to be looking at the Tennessee Titans.
Titans
Man, because I can tell you, them boys do not like seeing us in the playoffs at all, man. But, yeah, that one was definitely crushing.
That was terrible, man. There's a lot of different events. I mean, like, you know, I'm not a Titans fan, but, like, you know, I wanted to cover another Super Bowl. Yeah. It would have been my third one. So I'll say it was terrible for me, too.
I would say, granted, I mean, we got to remember Marcus Mariota did basically throw a touchdown pass to himself against those boys. I'm pretty sure
it was. The year before.
Karma. Yeah.
Yeah, it kind of came back. Yeah, that's funny. So outside of Derrick Henry, who else, you know, who are some other guys that you like?
Man, well, you know, I played college ball. I was a DM, man. So just the Javon Curse era, man. Yeah. I feel like he doesn't get talked about a lot, like enough. You know
Forgotten.
What I'm saying?
Yeah.
He wreaked havoc, man. Obviously, Keith Bullock, the way he was a leader, dog. And
Mr. Monday
ran,
Night.
Yeah, ran the defense and brought the energy, man, all the way down to the Samari Rose, man. Like, I loved how the Titans' identity was that hard-nosed defense, you know what I'm saying? Even down to when we played the Steelers and the whole infamous terrible towel incident, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, just those guys that brought that swagger and that attitude, man. They've always been some of my top-notch guys.
Yeah, no doubt about it. There's so many that you can mention. So this franchise has been in really good shape. I want to ask you this, too, just before we wrap this first segment up. When you see the city, like I've been here since 2018. I came July 29th, 2018, and I've seen it change so much.
Yeah, for sure.
And just progress so much. Mm-hmm. You've been here much longer than that.
Yeah.
How would you explain, like, the maturation of Nashville itself and the surrounding area?
Man, it's like, it's not Vegas, but, like, maybe Houston or something. Like, dog, like, the way it's grew is like crazy, even in terms of like the new stadium, you know. But I get it, man. Like, it comes down to the business. It comes down to the economics, man. I would just love to see the rest of the city grow with it as well. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of cities around Nashville that could use the infrastructure and the help that's, you know, being kind of gentrified out, man.
Mm-hmm.
But that's kind of what comes with you know, impeccable growth. But I feel like we got the right leaders that's leading the ship. And honestly, I'm one of those people, I love to see it, you know? So, yeah. Man, you got to keep growing, and that's with anything. So that's how I feel about it.
And it's funny you say that, because a lot of people are like, man, the old Nashville, I miss that.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting. You are someone that experienced both, and you are all for the growth. And I think it's good. There's always pros and cons, but I think the pros will really outweigh the cons. There's a lot of infrastructure and things that have to be put in place. Yeah, but
y'all folks can learn how to drive a little bit better.
Yeah.
And y'all can fix these potholes.
Yeah, the potholes are a mess, man. They are a mess. So, hey, listen, the politicians are listening. Hey, those are a couple suggestions for you. But we're going to go ahead and go to a break. We'll be right back with Run TMC.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
Run TMC. For you.
Come on with those strings. The lights fade. The music dims. Where are we going? And now, coming to you live from Madison Square Garden, starting at center for your New York Knicks, out of Gardner Webb University, number 45, Eddie Lee Wilkins.
And now, star for the Los Angeles Lakers, McAdoo.
Everybody listening, I want you to go look up Eddie Lee Wilkins so you see what he looks like. And you are going to see that he looks just like Chris Sanders, man. Just an older version. If you cut his hair off, and hey, you bought it like mine, you're going to have Chris Sanders.
First of all, I got a bone to pick with you, man. First of all, you're going to do the Nashville Speedway thing, and you can't even invite it, bro. You're looking like Sam Cassell, and you couldn't even, you couldn't even, You couldn't even invite. You couldn't even invite me to the thing, man. What's up? I just thought we was boys, man.
Yeah, we are homies. We are homies, man. But you know, it was that came up randomly.
Was it cool?
Oh man, listen, cool? I'm a NASCAR fan. Like real talk,
it's different in person, ain't it?
It is. It's a lot. You feel the energy. Like there's a whole different energy you feel, and also just you know having an appreciation for athletics. You know, a familiarity with it. You appreciate when you see chemistry and when you see coordination. Ooh. And let me tell you something. Those pit crews,
unreal.
The way they change a tire. Fill up the gas tank in less than 9 seconds. I mean, these guys literally pulling up, you know, all you hear vroom, vroom, like that.
Yeah.
And then you see the guy holding the gas tank and he filling it up. And before he comes, they spray it to make sure. Like, it's a whole process that you wouldn't even believe, man. I was just shocked.
But you know what's so cool, man, is it's kind of like the Tennessee Titans. They got a whole bunch of new guys. They got Snead. They got, you know, Awuzie. They got a secondary. They got some offensive weapons like Tyler Boyd and all those guys. And just like those guys in the pit, everybody's got to know their role.
Yeah.
That's how they make everything successful. So it's kind of like the guy who does the right tire, the tire, the left tire, the engine, whatever he does, everybody runs to his spot and does his job. So now we got the Tennessee Titans, who's got a lot of guys on offense, a lot of guys on defense. And if they do their job, you never know. They might be in pole position to do some great things.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely. And that's a good tie-in. And I want to talk to you about this because you've been there and done that. I was talking to Matthew Jackson, the safety, and we were talking about how you hit the off season and a lot of structure is just stripped away. You know, you got time and you just have to sit there and like try, like, what am I going to do with my day? And we know every off season, even though God forbid it, there's trouble that arises.
Yep,
so
for you.
You know, when you were in those situations, like how did you manage to navigate that and not have the major issues?
You know, I just understood what was important. And the things that were important is, number one, Christ was important. Number two, my family, and then my job. So, you know, we always talk about guys being a professional. You know, a professional is not finishing the gas or finishing a sprint or being on, being on meeting on time. A professional is doing the right thing at all times. Yes, we don't make mistakes. Yes, we don't come up short. Because even when I played football, I made some mistakes. But at the end of the day, if football is important to me and guys are depending on me, I'm not going to go out there and act crazy. Because the thing about it is, you may have idle time. You may have all this time. But if your mindset is on winning, just like Jerry Rice, he didn't have an offseason. He was like, what? 6 weeks off? No, I'm just going to prepare hard because I'm not going to just be ready for camp. I'm going to be prepared for camp. That's the difference.
Yeah, no, I like that. And that's the right approach, right? Like putting the team and others in front of you and understanding the impact that your actions could have on others. That's a very mature approach to it. When you look at this team, the Titans, that is, and you look at Brian Callahan being a new coach, what do you think his message, like if you were in that position, you're a new coach, first year guy, what would your message be to the players as you dismiss them for summer, off season, or whatever you want to call it?
You know, we always say these cliches, but I'm going to say a cliche that we don't say it all the time is, I don't want you to just buy in, I want you to trust them. See, there's a lot of people that buy in because they have to, but when you trust in, you trust the process. And I think that what you're looking at with so many different pieces on the scene with wide receivers, with Hop and Calvin Ridley and Tyler Boyd, and you go on the defensive side, you got Awuzie, you got Snead, you got all these guys. The message that I would relay to the team is, I don't need you to buy in. I need you to trust in the process and let's go win some ball games. That will be my message to the team.
Trust in the process. You sound like you got me feeling like I'm back, you know, in Philly, you know, and I'm listening to Joel Embiid and all them guys talk about trust the process, man. But
trust
you're right,
process,
though.
Baby.
You're right. Yeah. That is, in essence, the main thing. Will Levis, DeAndre Hopkins, Tajay Spears, Chig Okonkwo, Calvin Ridley, and Josh Wiley. They're in Cabo. When you heard that they were there, obviously having a passing camp, but also, you know, they're fishing together out on the ocean. They're having dinner together. Levis's birthday was around that time.
Right.
What do you gain from that?
You know, I gained a lot of they want to build right, because we always say the cliches, we always say all this crazy stuff about being a family, but the way you be a family is getting to know your family members, and that's exactly what you really want to do. And the way you get to learn your family members is you gotta spend time. I know you hear that loud noise. I'm in Las Vegas, so excuse me about that. But yeah, it's about building family. It's about trusting each other. And the only way you trust each other is about being around each other. And I think that's a great job by Will Levis. Said, you know what? I'm going to go out of my way and go to Cabo. I don't know if he paid the way, he fit the bill. But if he fit the bill, say, you know what? I got you. Let's go do some offensive stuff. But let's enjoy each other. Because a lot of times we just enjoy each other on the football field. But let's enjoy each other, on the football, outside of football.
Yeah, and that's a great point. Outside of football, when you get to know somebody. And I said this when I was on with Willie and D-Mace, you know, about having that relationship beyond football.
Absolutely.
You start to be able, you're able to communicate without actually talking.
That's it.
Can you give an example of when you and whether it was Chris Chandler or Steve McNair,
sure,
when you guys had that type of situation where you guys spoke to each other, didn't say anything, but it was known.
Again, let me give you a perfect example. We were playing, this was on our Super Bowl run in 1999. And we was consistently watching film. We were consistently talking. So we're playing the Atlanta Falcons. And we talked about it all weekend that if the safety blitzes, we don't care what route you run a side adjust. And we say a side adjust, that means you break off the route, run a hitch or a slant, whatever you do. So all of a sudden, we get in the game because we felt each other. We knew. We watched film. We said, if he blitzes, this is going to happen. So now all of a sudden, we're in a certain formation. The safety starts to creep up. Matt didn't even have to say a word. We got eye contact. Right when we got eye contact, I got you, big dog. I ran a slant, caught the ball, touchdown, let's go eat. The reason why that play worked, the reason why I scored, and the reason Mac threw it on time is because we were on the same page, because we studied film together. And that's what you have to do. It's not just sitting there like, were you watching Judge Judy? Oh, that's – no. If this happens, I bet. This is what's so cool, and I know this is crazy. I'm getting off the subject. But they was doing a documentary on Ray Lewis. Ray Lewis said this. He said he would get mad at some of the guys – to where they're looking at film, but they're not taking notes.
Mm.
In the year that they won the championship, is because everybody trusted the process. To where when they were in the meeting rooms, they were taking notes. So now when they took notes, they had a mental picture of what they're going to do. Fast forward it to us. Me and Mac was taking notes. If the safety blitzes, we know what we're going to do. We lock eyes, touchdown. Why? Because it was our second nature. Because we prepared it.
Hey, was Ray Buchanan the corner in that?
Ray Buchanan was a safety. They moved into safety.
Ray Buchanan played safety too?
I don't know what covers they were, because what happened was...
Oh, in that formation, in that setup.
That formation.
Okay.
Yeah, because what happened was, is I beat the corner on the release so bad that he ran into Ray Buchanan. It's on my page. And I caught a slam, boom, took it the distance. And that's all she wrote. Yeah. I beat the brakes off. off the corner.
It's funny you mentioned the Falcons, because back in the day, right? They had a guy, MC Hammer, you know what I'm saying, and Too Legit to Quit. Like, that was the theme music for them.
Listen,
I'm going to tell you, if the Titans do right, they got theme music from an artist that's right here in Nashville that grew up as a Titans fan.
Who that is?
Hey, listen, I'm going to go ahead. I got him in studio. He has a song called Tennessee Pimp, and they need to play it at Nissan Stadium.
No way.
We're going to get that set up. We're going to get it set up. He actually did a video right in the Nissan Stadium parking lot, but... I'm going to go ahead and let him introduce himself to you, because he happens to have a little bit of a tie to you from something he said.
Okay.
And what's good? Yeah, it's MCD, man, born and raised, local artist right here.
Come on.
Out of Nashville, Tennessee, Lebanon, Tennessee. Diehard Titans fan, man. I've been there for the glory days. I got to see you all kind of lay the foundation with Steve McNair and Eddie George, all those guys, man.
Yeah.
So, been here since day one, man. So it's an honor to even be able to share this platform with you and TD right now.
Well, let's, if you the man right now, let's go bar for bar right now and for a 10-second bar and see what you got.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
Come on, it's a challenge. Go ahead.
I'm on it right now.
Yeah, you on it.
You want to lead off, MC, Chris?
I'll roll it.
All right, come on.
Chilling on the mic, because you know I can do this. They don't call me Sam Cassell. They call me Chris. Ooh, that was good.
I thought maybe you would have said, even though I'm ugly, I broke a record set by Carl Lewis.
Oh, but then I go like this, and I say, what the double, double H-E-L, because my boy don't look like Rat Sampson. He looks like Sam Cassell.
Oh, but since... Okay, okay. All right, that's all right. You got me talking. I was going to chill, but it's too bad. I got to call you Tyrone Hill. So we're going to get out the way, and we're going to let the real MC hit a little bar for
Come
you.
Come on, MC. Let's roll, baby.
Man, I don't even got anything too crazy, man. But just they say I'm the next B.I.G. But like the great Machiavelli, all eyes on me. I'm a grind for my family till I D.I.E. So imagine another person going harder than me. Like LeBron in 03, I'm coming fresh on the scene. I'm talking dynasty things. I'm talking heat in 13. She speak that knowledge to me. Gave her a dynasty ring. Got to give my heart to my queen. We ball out, we a team.
See?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it's a little taste test. See, yeah, those are the type
of
bars.
And you look like Charlie Sheen.
Listen, a couple...
he played too much, man.
Look, he's not immune over there looking like Robert Traylor.
Hey, oh wow.
Hey, we got Bill Weddington, aka David James, behind
yes,
here.
Sir.
You remember Bill Weddington, the center for the Bulls. No, Bill Weddington. Oh, Will Perdue looking fool.
But guess what? I'm in Las Vegas, man, and I'm going to see New Edition, man. You look like Ricky.
That's what I was going to say. So, you know, my girl, she's a little bit younger than me. She's 7 years younger than me. You know what I mean? So I was trying to put her on to some of the old music, right? So some of the music you know, I slow dance to at house parties, you know what I'm saying, in middle school. You know what I mean? So I put a video on, and the dude came out, and he was talking about Don't Be Cruel. You know what I'm saying? And he said how he put his glass up, and she don't even toast. And she was like, I remember when you introduced me to this guy. I'm like, no, I ain't never introduced you to him. She said, oh, yes, you did. You remember he and his wife, Faith. I said, no. That's not Chris Sanders. That's Bobby Brown.
Oh, wow. Well, I got one in the chamber for you, dog. I was listening to some old school rap, but then some reggae came on.
Oh, boy.
And this song, a guy who was singing with Maxi Priest. It was called House Call. And the dude walked by, and my girl was like, baby, I cannot believe that TD made it. I'm like, baby, no, that's y'all right.
Trying to load the girls.
It's Jefferson, I'm talking with TD.
There you have it right there. You know we couldn't have him on, right, David James?
Exactly.
We couldn't have it on and not let that anthem go ahead and play.
It was only right. It was only right.
Exactly.
For those of you who want to check that out, Tennessee Pimpin', you could find that on YouTube. You could find it. You're on Spotify,
Spotify, Apple Music. Tennessee Pimpin' MCD, man. We're on every major platform.
Go check it out, download it, play it, share it, do all that good stuff, you know, just like you do with Talking with TD. We'll get into that in the outro part of this, but I wanted to continue the conversation and just fast forward to this point right now. Mike Vrabel, he gets fired. What are your thoughts when that happened?
Man, it was crazy because honestly, I thought he was going to get fired and get picked right back up. You know, at least that's what the word was, man. I understand both sides, man, because, like, in order to, like, grow to get to where we want to get to, you got to have change, you know what I'm saying? And I do think if he would have still been around the same philosophies, I don't know if we would have got some of the free agent targets that we got. But he did bring us a lot of success, you know what I'm saying? So it was tough to see him go, for sure.
What do you think of Brian Callahan, what you've seen so far?
I love it because he comes from a winning culture.
Yes.
He comes from a winning culture, and he comes with like a very like modern approach. You know, this game has changed a lot. It's not like how we were just talking about like the Keith Bullocks and how like, you know, the Dirty Titans used to be, man. This game is like really a passing league now. Mm-hmm. It's an analytical driven league now, man, and I really feel like he has like all that down to a science and knows exactly, you know, what he wants. So I'm excited, man.
And see, I like that balance too, because it's just even in this world, period, it's like you can't like LeBron and MJ.
Facts.
You can't like Mahomes and Tom Brady.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And so, like, for you to be able to say, listen, I appreciate what Mike Vrabel did.
Yes.
He took us to places that we really wanted to go,
right.
You know, using your words. And then saying, hey, look, I appreciate the refreshing, modern approach that Brian Callahan brings to us.
No doubt.
That's balance. And, like, a lot of times, like, that's all you want. Like, you
exactly.
Could, it doesn't have to be one against the other. But speaking of one against the other, because so many people try to pit these two guys against each other, and that's Mike Vrabel and Rand Carthon.
Yeah.
Now, I'll be honest, like, I take a special pride in Rand Carthon being a GM.
Yeah, facts.
You know what I mean? And, you know, for you as a young black man, you see the organization that you root for, yeah. And you get a guy who looks like you.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's my African-American studies professor used to tell me in college. He was like, yeah, you know the guy that invented the refrigerator? He looks like you. And that's how he would say he was black.
Yeah.
So I just had a flashback to that. But anyhow, when you look at, you know, Rand getting the job, like, for you, like, what were your feelings when you saw he was named?
Like, it was monumental. You know what I'm saying? Like, just seeing someone, like you said, that looks like me, be able to be in a position of that stature. You know, I didn't grow up seeing that. You know, like, my parents grew up in factories. And when Miss Amy had even kind of doubled down and I guess, so to speak, when the word had put, it was either Mike Vrabel or Rand Carthon, like, she did what she needed to do, you know? She put it her full faith and full trust. And so it even came down to everybody was so nervous about this draft because we could have did so many different things in terms of trading and picking wide receiver first or tackle. And I was just so cool, calm, and collective because I know the type of leadership that we have in their front office, man. Like, we were yelling, let Rand cook.
Yeah.
And then after the draft, all you see is the memes of him and the chef and holding the spatula. So, like, regardless of what we did, if we went wide receiver first or if we went tackle first, like, I knew that they had did the work that needed to be put in and they were going to do whatever was the best thing for the organization, man. So, I'm super excited with him at the helm, man. I think we're really going to get that ring.
All the way up into college, you spent time in the trenches, so you know what goes into it. What are your thoughts on TK?
Yeah, bro, love him, dog. He's nasty, man. And the thing is, like, with his size, man, like, he moves, you know what I'm saying? So, like, I really think he would have went higher. I think the Jordan Davis thing with the Eagles kind of messed that whole thing up because at the end of the season, he wasn't able to go full strong like he was, you know, at the beginning of the season. But, man, he has a different motor to him, man. It's a crazy skill set. I'm excited about him. I'm also excited about Cedric Gray, man. I really think he's a sleeper. Loved his college tape. And, man, we needed some help with that linebacker spot, man. So I think he's going to be one of those, like, those key building blocks to our defense that not a lot of people are talking about.
Yeah, TK short for Trench King. I like how you mentioned.
I thought you were just talking about Sweat.
But, yeah, Tavondre Sweat, too.
Okay, yeah.
You know, so, all right, Trench King, we talking about the first-round pick.
Yeah.
Well, what are your thoughts on him?
Oh, yeah, he's a dog. Yeah, like I said, yeah, so my bad, everybody. I got it mixed up with
No, it's all good. I did just say TK just like on some random stuff.
Yeah, you said Trench King and back in college, dog, that's kind of what our philosophy was, man.
Yeah.
We was the Trench King, so it took me back to the defense side of things.
Absolutely.
Sweat is a beast, man. Latham's a beast. We got, man, some thoroughbreds at the offensive line and defensive lines, for sure.
First two picks, they invested in that trench warfare, you know, so I'm sure that was refreshing for you to see.
Oh, yeah.
When you look at the quarterback, you know, obviously, as we talked about in the previous segment, they went to Cabo, they did it all. Well, where are you on Will Levis?
Man, I think giving the circumstances that we had last year with no offensive line, one real true threat with D-Hop, who was coming in and still learning the system, I feel like he exceeded my expectations. I was one of those people that honestly, I didn't even want him to touch the field until this year just because, one, I didn't want him to get hurt, and I didn't want him to pick up any bad traits. But, man, once he got in, you could see it. He just has that it factor, man. So, like, for example, like, Tannehill led this offense for a long time, and he came in and outproduced what he was doing, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, I don't understand the narrative of why we might be picking early and the media isn't on him, man, because – If this was any other team with the quarterback given those circumstances, man, I feel like they'll be having us as potential divisional winners at least. So I think that game against Atlanta, who had that stout defense, man, that should have showed everybody.
Yeah.
Because nobody was doing Atlanta like that.
Yeah.
At that time frame, man.
Yeah. Sure. You know, for me, it was the Steelers. That game was like, as Jeffrey Simmons said, I told you, But for me, it was that Steelers game, and I'll never forget, because I remember being in the press box and looking down. It's fourth quarter, right? And it was a timeout. Whenever they have the timeouts in the fourth quarter, the defense is on the field. The screen goes blank.
Uh-huh.
And then you start hearing that, and then that damn song, Renegade, starts playing. Uh-huh. And you see those towels start waving. And that place comes alive like very few atmospheres.
Legendary feel.
It's happening. He's in the huddle calling the play, right?
Uh-huh.
They get to the line of scrimmage. And I think it was a false start or something that happened. And it was like first and 16 or something like that. And he just sits back in the pocket. There's somebody coming at him. A dart. I'm talking about numbers, the sideline throw.
Uh-huh.
Traylon Burks, boop, first down.
Yeah.
Everybody's towels down. And the energy was, I'm like, yeah, he's a killer.
Yeah.
Dude's a killer.
He's got the instinct, man.
Yeah.
I forget who it was. It might have been the Atlanta game, but whenever he was rolling out and he threw that crazy pass running sideways, it was like 60 yards.
Oh, the NWI.
Yeah. No, like you can't teach that stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like that's just straight raw genetics. Like he has it, you know? So
yeah.
Man, I'm excited. I hope he breaks every record.
I'll tell you this. So I think he's going to throw a lot of interceptions.
You think so?
I think he's going to. And it's like the gift and the curse, right? Because it's when you're so gifted like that and so – and you know it, you're like, I could fit that in there.
I can see why you say that. His play style, a lot of people haven't said that, but it's kind of like very Brett Favre-ish to me.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to sling it, you know what I'm saying? Yep. Because he believes in every single throw that he throws.
Exactly.
Which, I mean, I want a quarterback like that, man. Like – man, obviously King Henry has taken over plenty of games, man, but we haven't really had any true, like, quarterback performance where you just kind of sit back and like, wow, you know what I'm saying? So, like, man, I'm here for it all, so.
Yeah, no, I feel you. And you talk about having that performer. Obviously, a part of being that performer is having the surrounding pieces. You look at what they did, Tony Pollard, Calvin Ridley. You know, how do you feel about the additions? And even take it a step further when you look at the defense. Jarius Sneed, you know, we mentioned Devondre Sweat. Mm-hmm. You know, you look at Chidobe Awuzie.
Yeah.
How do you feel like Rand has done and the whole crew to sit this team up?
Even Christian Berry, man, I feel like they went above and beyond, man. We had so many holes coming into free agency and the draft, and it was just like, man, like, are we going to tank? What are we going to do, man? And now I feel like, feeling my whole heart like, hey, we can win the division. We can even surprise some people and make a run, man, because when you got a guy like D-Hop, you got a guy like Calvin Ridley who's coming back, you got to think, that was his first season back. He dropped some balls and stuff like that last year, but really he was just shaking off the rust.
Mm-hmm.
Even with the whole Tony Pollard coming off his second year off his ACL injury, man, like, I think Rand understands how important that second year run is for those players, and if we can get those guys on that second year capitalized, man, as well with a veteran like Tyler Boyd, I feel like our offense can reach, like, imaginable heights, man. Only thing is Will Levis has to do what he does, man, and I think he's going to do it. And even with our defense, like, we have two shutdown corners.
Yeah.
Like, Sneed is the best in the game. The only question mark that we have, I guess you could say, is that safety. I'm not sure what we're going to do there, but man, when you have playmakers like that in the secondary that can kind of make up for maybe not having a top-tier safety – I just think we're just being slept on, and you got to think about the game also starts in the trenches. We got two dogs in the trenches as well as some dogs on the edge.
Yeah.
And even with Landry bouncing back the way he did, man, I love to see Key kind of live up to the expectations that we set for him, man. I think we had kind of set the bar so high just being so happy about that signing, man, and he showed some signs last year and he balled, man, but I do still believe he can take it to a whole nother level.
Yeah.
Man, I think all them boys are just, like, it seems like the chemistry is there, you know what I'm saying? Like, they all enjoy each other's company. And sometimes that just helps you on the field more than just your talent alone, man. So I really do think the national media is going to have to rewrite some of these stories this season for sure.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. And you know, you mentioned Arden Key. For me, like, just figuring out how to finish.
Yeah.
That's the big thing. Like, he gets pressures.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it's just finishing the deal. He has to do that more. I'll say this about the defense, though. You're right about the safety position because you look at Monty Hooker, you look at Elijah Molden. While, you know, Hooker and Molden, like, they're solid players. Yeah. It's just they haven't spent a year in the league without being injured.
Correct.
And that's the issue.
Yeah.
Now, I have a story publishing next week about Matthew Jackson, who, you know, he CWA, you know what I mean? Yeah. He grew up looking at Nashville, in Nissan Stadium, you know, Hillsboro. And I think, you know, he's someone that I believe is going to make the roster, but I'm just curious how he's going to be going from linebacker to safety, you know, another year away from being as an outside linebacker. I'm curious what's going to happen there. Justin Simmons, Quandre Diggs, Jamal Adams. Pick one. Man, or pick none.
I think if I had – Justin Simmons would be the biggest breadwinner, but he's also going to probably require the biggest bag.
Yep.
Quandre Diggs would probably be my next choice. Love Jamal Adams' game, man, but at the same time, like, your best ability is availability, you know what I'm saying? And so we've already dealing with availability at that position, so the last thing I would want us to do is to bring in a guy that's not outperforming what we already have on the roster, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, I mean, we got the funds to bring in a Justin Simmons. It would just – from my understanding, and make it a little tight, you know, for the rest of the season and not really be able to account for some injuries that might come up.
Yeah.
But that would be, like, my biggest wish list. I feel like that's just another star piece on that defense with some names on it now. So
while we're talking about the defense and talking about the secondary, what do you think of Denard Wilson, like the DC? What is?
Yeah, hey, he goes in the dogs, man.
Yeah,
and that's another thing, man. Like, we're bringing in the brains of the game, and putting them with some big time players. Like, I just do not understand, like, the media hate on the outside, man. Like, we have the names, we have the brains, we have the organization. Like, man, I really do feel like they're going to be rewriting these stories, like, and ask themselves, how do we not see it? Or maybe they do see it, but the thing to do right now is to talk about, you know, what might happen, you know? So,
yeah.
I get it.
Yeah, it's always, you know, having to be in tune directly with the national.
Yeah.
It's like, I know Cowboys, Chiefs, you know, Eagles.
Ravens,
like, they get all the pub.
Yeah.
You know, and I'll pitch stuff and be like, hey, listen, and like, okay. Yeah. You know.
I will say, I am slightly concerned about the Texans. I feel like they're doing everything that you're supposed to do when you have, what CJ Stroud showed, they're going all in, they're pushing all the chips in. But, like, outside of the Texans, man, even the Jaguars got a lot of question marks, you know what I'm saying? They lost their main receiver. I feel like they're – Gabe Davis is a good addition, but they're about to be relying in a lot on Brian Thomas, who showed in college that he was capable. And then you have the Colts with the question marks with Anthony Richardson. And there are other pieces, man. Like, the division is, in a sense, wide open. We just have to take down the Texans, but that's why you play the game. You know what I'm saying? Like, we got the opportunity.
Yeah, and it's two late games against the Texans, too, if I'm not mistaken. So that'll be a good opportunity to – you know, have a strong push and maybe the division, if not the playoffs. We'll see what happens with the wild card. go ahead and let them know where they could find you on social media and just get in touch with everything that you're doing.
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram at _therealmcd615. I'm real big on TikTok as well. You can find me on there. I am MCD. My music is available on all major platforms. Type in MCD. Tennessee Pimpin', you should pull right up, man. On YouTube, you'll see me right there in the big Derrick Henry jersey.
The anthem, as we said earlier, the video to that song was filmed right there. Parts of it was filmed right there in Nissan Stadium's parking lot. So he's true to you. And speaking of being true to you, we appreciate each of you for tuning in. Appreciate you for coming on, David James.
Yes, sir.
Making it happen, Chris Sanders, and each of you for continuing to rock with us. Definitely make sure you check us out on Spotify, Google Podcasts, iTunes, wherever you find your great listening materials. Search Talking with TD. Subscribe, rate, review. We appreciate you.
Sir.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T&Cs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.